God bless you on this evening. You are tuned in to the 6 Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Bynum. God bless you wherever you may be in the world. We hope that your family is doing well. We hope that your life is full of health. Most of all, we are praying that you are saved and doing your God-given assignment. Amen. There's a purpose for everyone. Amen. That's why you're here in this world today. No matter where you may be, God has a plan for you. So you can touch yourself and say, God has a plan for me. Well, God bless you this evening. Once again, you are tuned in to the 6 Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. God bless you on this wonderful evening. We're so glad to have you in our midst. We want you to enjoy this program today. We have our founder, Brother Six himself, amen, otherwise known as Charles Sanford, amen. Mr. Sanford, God bless you, Brother Six. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I am good, Pastor. Thank you. How are you, sir?
Amen. I heard Sister Ruth there. Amen. So that means the Wolf Gang are on deck. Amen. Well, God bless all of you.
Hello, Pastor.
Hey, and there is our wonderful sister, Sister Emily. Amen. The one that every now and then we have to, you know, threaten her with an email switch. But she going to be all right. We love her. Amen.
Pastor Bonnet, if you knew what I did today, you would be wanting to email me a big switch.
You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying, y'all? So already prayer is needed. Before we even open up the prayer line, you know we need prayer for this individual. But that's all right. We love her just the same. Amen.
But Pastor Bonnet, I'm in big trouble. I gained weight.
You gained a little weight? That's all right.
Honey, I gained as much weight as I had when I first married. I'm up to 272.
Ooh, okay. You didn't have to tell the whole story. You didn't have to tell the, you testify. You don't have to tell it out.
but I have good news.
I had to get out my leather belt.
Yeah, but I got a better good news. What's about that? You know, the fibromyalgia I've been fighting with for several months now?
Yeah.
It's almost gone because I'm starving.
Praise
and when it I get starving, that means I'm losing the fibromyalgia flare. Praise God.
Good. That is wonderful. That is good news.
I just have to learn to control myself now.
Amen. That is good news. I love that. Even though it's not testimony service yet, but you just gave a wonderful way to testify, and you have helped so many people find what we call the silver lining. Amen. In spite of circumstances, you can always find the good. And what you have done, beloved sister, you have shown people that may have reverses, unexpected reverses. And we say reverses because we all are trying to move forward in life, but every now and then there's some setbacks. But you found the silver lining by identifying the good in it. Amen. And so thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now let me divert my attention to Brother Six this evening. Brother Six wanted to do a couple of things, amen, on the program for as our music selection. And so I just want to make sure you're ready for that, Brother Six. And if so, we're going to put that ball in your court.
Yeah, hopefully it ain't too hard.
Okay.
So here's how this is going to work. So before the show opened up and before I got jumped by my beautiful cast of people, I had a great day today, Pastor Barnett. I hope you did as well, and the rest of our cast had a great day. I did our Thanksgiving event. That turned out good, so I had the place rocking, and that's a good thing. Now we're here with Motivational Monday. Yes. All right. So that was a great thing, and I am ready. And what we're going to do is play motivational songs, just like the one you just played. And the people can actually download these songs and make a motivational playlist. So we will call this Pastor Kenneth Bonnet's Motivational Playlist. And that way, each day you can be motivated. You don't got to just wait till Monday, but you can be motivated Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then turn right back around Motivational Monday with a new playlist. So that's what's going to be happening, and we'll be playing motivational music throughout till you're ready to give your message. Once again, welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network, Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Our phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. And for my cast that has the radio bug, we have to remember that there's separate mics, but there's actually one mic when it comes to radio. So you all be mindful of that. I know you all have the radio bug, but the more you do this, you will find that it's not so hard to do. Amen. All right.
Could I give a request for a song tonight?
Yeah, sure.
I'm looking for the song. It's going to happen. It's on the board.
Okay, well, it's going to happen. Who made it? I never heard of that artist.
No, I'm trying to think. Jekyll and Carr. Jekyll and Carr. It's going to happen.
Jacqueline Carr, it's going to happen.
All right, amen.
Well, let's start off with that song, it's going to happen.
Is it Jacqueline Carr or Kaylin Carr?
Try Kaylin Carr.
No, it's Jacqueline Carr. I know for a fact it's Jacqueline Carr.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Pastor Bonnet.
Sister Emily.
You know, I was a good girl today.
All right. Before our call is coming on, we have a new caller on the line. God bless you. Welcome this evening. And just for station identification, we want to welcome all of our callers. We welcome you, 901. We welcome you, 440. A good some of y'all there. Amen. And we welcome you, 216. Amen. And all the rest of our callers that's starting to call in. Thank you for calling. Amen, amen. When you're ready, Brother Six, you can go right ahead.
Let's boogie.
Well, while Brother Six get that together, there is a group of people that love this station.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Amen. Come on, Brother Six. It's on you.
Amen. Hear me good?
Sounds wonderful, Six. You go, buddy.
All right.
You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are peculiar. You will prosper. So I can't. gonna happen.
All right. All right. We got one more coming up.
Come on, right here.
Right.
Jesus.
Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Every Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network. God later in the show. A powerful message from Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. This is Motivational Monday.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life?
Tell me my mic was muted all that time.
When I feel he won't show up on time, God provides, he'll come through. When the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew, now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see is all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive all the things I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny.
I can feel it.
he goes crazy.
What was that?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I didn't hear you. Okay, you sound very garbled.
That's all right. Last try. God bless our my guest speaker coming on with us, the Coles, this evening. Amen. We're not in the bubble. Amen. Miracles. See those miracles in your life. All of our other lines are muted at this time. We have a very special guest joining us this evening here on the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. We had the counterpart of this gentleman, which is his lovely wife. We had her on a while back on the show, Sister Natalie Cole, Prophetess Natalie Cole. We had her on this evening. We invited her husband to have a dialogue with us on the topic of prayer. Amen. Praying as God's people. And he's on the line now. Just open up your line, Reverend Cole. This is none other from straight here from the city of Memphis, Reverend Frederick Cole. A wonderful preacher in his own right, great student of the word, and I wanted to have a dialogue on this topic because I've talked about prayer many times on the program, and so tonight's topic is praying as God's people. But before we jump into it, let me greet our special guest, and that is, again, Mr. and Mrs. Cole. That is Reverend Frederick Cole and Sister Natalie Cole as well. And good evening, folks. How y'all doing?
Hey, Elder. How are you today, this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. And my friend here is there with you, right?
He's right here.
Yeah, because she texted me to make sure to let me know that she was right there with you. I don't want her coming back after the show calling me and saying I left her out. Acting like Emily on the show.
God be the glory. We're glad to be here with you.
Amen. Yeah. Now, before we jump into the program, I would for our there's two very unique gentlemen that I highly regard. And those are part of this team. And that is none other than founder of the Six Eyes Radio Network. That's Brother Charles Sanford, Six Eyes himself, a.k.a. Mr. Six
Eyes.
He is the one that I share with you that literally look like a younger version of you. Have the same slender body style. Y'all share a common trait, and we'll go over that in just a second. And it's so unique. And when I was talking to you the other day and you gave me your timeline of what happened to you, and it is the same timeline that it happened to him, it's going to blow his socks off. So I hope he got them labeled so he know how to put them back on, which one go on the right foot or the left foot. But it's going to blow his mind. So before we jump into the subject, I would just like to do a small interview with your Reverend Cole so that you may tell Brother Six and Missionary Ken, who is a sure enough student of the word. We're not going to go into all his credentials because he's a modest man, and he don't wave them around. Say, see, he just be himself, and that is none other than missionary Kenneth Wolfgang. He shares my first name. Amen, which was a unique coincidence of our encounter. But you resemble Brother Six, and y'all, what took place with him about 6 years ago, you told me that took place with you roughly about 6 years ago, and that was the loss of your sight. Am I correct about that timeline?
Yeah, pretty much, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right. Brother Six, you're still on the line. We haven't muted you out. I want to introduce you to Reverend Cole here on this evening because he shared your trait, and this is a gospel preacher who have not allowed his blindness to hinder him. Reverend Cole, both of these gentlemen, Six, who is a producer and have the master DJ skills and still going forward with pushing his business. And I spoke on it yesterday, and Missionary Ken, who is a man of faith, and he has a company called Blind Trucking, where he actually deliver packages in his blindness. So these two gentlemen should be what I consider poster boards of I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. And so I just want you to, if you would, in your own words, give us just a little synopsis of who you are and your love for God.
Yeah. Well, God be the glory. I definitely thank God for Brother Charles and stay slumber,
Missionary.
Brother Charles. Stay slumber.
Amen.
Yes. And man of God, I feel your humility, and the word will humble us. It will have us humble. Your modesty, as Elder Kenneth spoke of that, and I really appreciate that. I love, feel your kindred spirit, and you know how that go when you humble yourself and God opens up that kind of camaraderie and kindred spirit. I feel that. Yeah. But as for myself, I love being saved.
Yeah.
I love Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. Well, I was under my mentor, and I fell in love with Jesus. I used to say, I love the Lord, and I love Jesus. And one day, I fell in love with Jesus, and I have not fallen out of love with Jesus. I think it's very impossible. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, but definitely nothing can separate you from being in love with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He saved me, really. Brought me out of the horrible pit. And I don't say that as being scriptural, but that's what he really did. I didn't know that scripture was in the Bible, but I know that I was in a horrible pit and in the muck and mire of this world. I was a street person. I was a whoremonger. I did prostitute women. I had one of the biggest gambling houses in Memphis, Tennessee. So I was very worldly. At a young age, my mom did instill in me church, and she was an intercessor, an awesome woman of God. I lost a brother, learned deaf at a young age, and I remember I believe that's my prayer ministry, the prophetic intercessions. God gave that to me. God works on you when you don't know He's working. I mean, even in your, even when you don't even know, even when you're not saved, even God is always with you, and He was always with me. Even at an early age, when I lost my brother, he got hit by a car. We stayed in the Fowler home. We stayed in the project. I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. And my brother, it was on my birthday. It was on my 12th birthday. And we had had my mom had gave me a party. And we had finished with the cakes and the ice creams. And we were outside. My younger brother and their friends, they were fighting with some guys across the street. And so I went across the street behind them, and I met a schoolmate. Her name was Lulu, and I was talking to her. And so all of a sudden I heard a bam, and I said in my spirit and in my heart, I said, I hope that's not Ricky. Me and Ricky was real close, very close. And it turned out it was Ricky. He got hit by a car. The car knocked him 50 feet. And so I knew to pray. And I went and got all the little guys, all of our friends, and we went and came around our bed. And we got down on our knees and we prayed a prayer. And I thought at that age that once you pray, it had to be all right. You know, that I didn't know no better. I just thought if you pray to God, if you pray to the Lord, things would be all right. So my mom went in the ambulance, and babysitter Maylee, she's with me now, and she always supports me. Her husband, he just passed on. He was 96 years old. I told him, He was telling me, trying to explain to me about what could happen. And I said, no, I prayed to the Lord, I prayed to the Lord. And he was trying to tell me what happened. So, make a long story short, my brother died. And I just stopped believing. I didn't want to hear. I became very rebellious. And remind me, my mom was an intercessor. My mom was the president of the Ursha Board, Greater Whitestone Baptist Church over in South Memphis. She did that for almost 30 years before we moved into Orange Mountain area when I came back to Memphis. But anyway, I was very rebellious, and I went into the streets. I never knew my father, and so I became adapted in the streets. And I was running from the Lord. I ran. My mom always used to tell me, boy, God has a calling on your life. And I didn't know what that mean. All I knew is that my mom was saved, and I know that she was going to talk about God, but I was running. And then one thing she told me I couldn't outrun God. So finally, I was in my addiction. I was addicted to crack cocaine. And one night I was in my room, and the Lord gave me an ear to hear. And I could hear my mama praying and crying out to the Lord concerning me. And she was crying And it just dawned on me, and I spoke to the Lord. Didn't know what I was doing, but I spoke to the Lord. And I said, Lord, my mom is crying. And after I said those words, I began to cry. And when I cried for almost 4 hours. Every time I tried to stop crying, I couldn't. And I just cried and cried and cried and cried. And when I stopped crying, I was a changed man. I went and got my mother and I hugged my mama. And I told my mama. Now, before all this time, I had went to Salvation Army and I had accepted Jesus Christ. But when I came back out into the world, I went back into the world. And my mom, when I first got back, we went to this church called Youth Baptist. And they were training me to be a deacon there. And the church split. And, you know, when you're young and in the Lord, you know, you don't understand. And the church split. So when the church split, I split too. And I went back into the world. And at that time, my brother, he got saved. And my brother came to me one day and he told me that Satan was trying to kill me, and Satan was trying to kill me. He really tried to kill me out there in those streets. And so I met Apostle Jeffrey Becton, and I sat in up under his teaching. Me and my mom, after that night of crying, I started going to church with my mom, and they were going to Zoe Ministries International. He was up under Dr. Miles Monroe, and Dr. Miles Monroe was his pastor, and he was my pastor. So I began to sit up under his teaching, and I was very convicted, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and I began to learn how to study and how to stay in God's Word. And one day, the Holy Spirit told me to go. I never talked to Apostle about this. I never said nothing to anybody, mama, brother, nobody. It was just me and God. And the Holy Spirit told me to go up at the altar and receive my deliverance. But I didn't go. So I went back home and I prayed and I cried and I prayed and studied, got deeper, and the Holy Spirit convicted me once again. And I went to church and the Holy Spirit spoke to me again and said, get up and go and receive your deliverance. But I didn't do it. I went back home and I said to myself, if the Holy Spirit speak to me this Sunday, I'm going up to receive my deliverance. So I went back to the church that third Sunday, and they had the altar call. And I got up, and I went down to the altar. And the apostle put his hands on both of my ears. And he said, today, you will receive your deliverance. Mind me, I never said anything to this man about what the Holy Spirit said. But he said it to me, today, you will receive your deliverance. I rededicated, committed myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, fell in love with the Lord. I never touched another cigarette. I never touched another drink. I never touched another drug. I was celibate for 11 years till I met my lovely wife, Natalie. I never touched a woman. I learned how to fast. The Lord taught me how to fast when urges came upon me, and I turned to the wall and I called a fast. And all that time, the Lord was training me and perfecting me, ministering to me as I ministered to the Lord. And he gave me prophetic intercession. And I became prophetically inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray to the Lord. And after the prayer ministry, I began to see the Lord working miracles in the ministry. I see the Lord working ministries around me, through me, for me, and with me. And so that's where we are. My ministry is called Lamp of Life Ministries. It's a prophetic ministry, gospel-centered ministry. Kenneth said, I'm a student of the word. Sometimes my wife, she tries to grab me and get me out of that. You know, I get in the presence of the Lord, and sometimes I believe the Lord tells me you have to go back because I love to be in his presence. I love to minister to the Lord. I love to have the Lord minister to me. Not get me out of the presence, I'm saying, but to get me to do other things, you know. But I just love to be in the presence of the Lord. That's where my ministry is. It's the ministry of prayer and a ministry of communing, a ministry of desired and cherished fellowship, unbroken
Amen.
Fellowship.
Amen. Minister Reverend Cole, man, let me intervene here. I'm glad I have muted my line. I forgot I muted my own line because actually I was commenting throughout your whole thing. and I probably would have pulled you away from your direction, but I'm glad you shared what you shared. Here's how unique the Holy Spirit is. We had spoke before about bringing you on the show and talking to you and everything, but it's so profoundly prophetic that my topic is on prayer.
Yeah.
And yeah. Even though I know those things about you, it wasn't a connection there because you all have the children ministry as well and so many other things that you're doing. You are an associate pastor. And so there are so many things that's surrounding you personally that I wasn't trying to make connections on that. I just knew that I wanted you on the show, and actually we were supposed to have you on last week, but that was a purpose by God disconnect. And it gives to understand that delay don't mean denied. And I say that for someone that's hearing me, because many people are praying for things or trying to do things, and sometimes it seems like things are hindering that. And all hindrance, all delays are not of the devil. Sometimes God delays things for his own divine purpose, to make better sense and to have better purpose at a later time. And so I'm really glad to have you on the program this evening to talk about this topic of prayer. And the gamut of prayer is so vast. It really is a topic that the disclaimer that I'm giving here is we're going to not totally give justice to prayer on this call because we don't have the time. So we have to cut across the fields and give snippets and give just a synopsis, a small fragment. But prayer is so vast and it's so great. And for the believers, prayer is truly your access to heavenly benefits. And when you don't know how to pray and when to pray, we miss out on some of the very things that God designed and desired. And so scriptures like men are always to pray. you know, comes to the mind. So that's to let us know how important prayer is. We keep prayer as a very basic conversation, but it really is very complex. For those of you that's listening to me, I want to reference prayer as the understanding of the Constitution. We're here in the United States. We have Constitution. We have amendment rights. So constitutionally, the government has rules and regulations that they must uphold and reinforce, where our Bible is not just a, and this is where a lot of people miss it, the Bible is not some religious book. The Bible is an Eastern book about a kingdom. And it is full of its history and constitutional rights. And so when we as believers learn how to pray, prayer here is really how to petition your government. What is your government? Our government is heaven. Who's the king of heaven? God. So learning how to pray is so vital. It is literally, for the believer, life or death, success or failure. It is what allow us to move ahead in life when life is pushing us back. And so, Reverend Cole, I'm going to dive in it, because if I go back to your life story, we won't have time to discuss it. And if it filter in the lesson, that's great. And I'm just mindful of the time, and I know because of our conversations in the past that just like if I was talking to any one of the cast members, that our conversations, when it becomes biblical, it becomes, as that comedian used to say, all night long. It'll be one of those things. There's no end to it. Because when you love God, it is something that you talk about with great excitement and expectation. And this month's emphasis, I've been letting the people know that we are renewing our expectation on the kingdom of God. And so to renew that is to revitalize that, to restore that, to restart that, to continue with our expectation. And we built on Jeremiah 29:11, where at the end of that, he said to give you an expected end. That means there's a person, there's something specific that God has in store for us, each of us. And so I'm going to read the text so that all of us are familiar where I'm coming from in this passage of Scripture. Tonight's topic is praying as God's people. We're coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And for our study tonight, we're going to deal with verses 5 through 15. And as times pass, I've always encouraged read the before and after so that you may keep proper content of what you are reading and how it came about. So again, for all of us, our topic tonight is praying as God's people. So I'm talking to believers tonight. I'm talking to those that say they love the Lord. I'm talking to those that have confessed Christ as their Savior. I hope you also have confessed him as your Lord. Because he can be your Savior, but if he's not your Lord, you won't live the most productive life you can live. Because when he become your Lord, then you have did something in this verse, and we'll come back to it, But for him to be your Lord, that means you surrender your will to his. He's your Savior. That means he done something to redeem you, to rescue you. So him being your Savior is what you do. Him being your Lord is responsive to what you are doing. Amen, somebody. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, and I'll be reading for your hearing. And the word of the Lord reads, and we're reading from the King James Version, so that we be on one accord. Once again, Matthew chapter 6, verses 15 through, I mean, verses 5 through 15. And when thou prayest, when, conditionals of time, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. So the first priority of this prayer is don't be hypocritical. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing, do something else. We'll get into that later. I'm going to try to read straight through because I got another preacher. I got several preachers on here, so I'm going to try to read that. I think I need to open up Ken's mic, too, just in case he want to tag in there. So open up Ken's mic just in case he needs to tag in here on this prayer. Amen. All right. Verse 5 again, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, churches, and in the corners of the street, market street, place of meetings, that they may be seen of men. Verily, truly, I say unto you, they have their reward, no heavenly reward, earthly reward. But thou, when thou prayest, talking to believers, talking to his disciples, student of him, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, for a long time, Christians stayed in the closet thinking that this prayer meant don't do nothing openly. This is not what it means. We'll talk about that too. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. I mean, you don't have to do this grandstanding. Verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 7. But when thou pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. That's the beauty of it. Verse 9. After this matter, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thou kingdom come, thou will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's trespassers too. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if
excuse me. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, that means they done crossed you, done something wrong, your heavenly Father will also forgive you your trespasses, what you done wrong. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, their sins against you, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. This part here deals with strongholds in our lives that it seems like we can't break. And so that's a topic for another day we'll deal with solely, because the implication has more than what we see on the surface. Reverend Cole, being that God has given you a prayer ministry, and as I've talked about this on the program several times, I've gone through these and broke down each verse of what we call the Lord's Prayer. But tonight, it starts us off in verse 5, telling us not to pray like the hypocrites. Come on, talk to us a little bit as that resonate in your heart.
Well, God, our Father, he is holy. He is a holy God. And how you approach him, how you reverence and revere him, is more of a, there's prayer, and there are people who pray, there are believers who pray to the Lord, and there are men and women who live prayer, who have prayer lives, who have holy and intimate communion with a holy God.
All right.
So when you say don't do as the hypocrites does, here the Jesus talking to his disciples, like you said, who were students, and as he's explaining all of this, what we're reading, he's bringing them not into prayer, but into a life of prayer.
Wow.
A life,
that's good.
A life that is not absence of the holy. He said, we hallow your name. See, he's talking to our Father who is holy, whose name is holy. See, it's about the holy. It's not about the disciples. It's not about the disciples. It's not about the hypocrites. It's about the holy. And you and just like you said about the will, there's his will, there's your will, and there's Satan's will. So when you come along beside the holy, then you are in holy alliance with the holy God, which opposes your will, to mean you don't have a will.
All right.
And it opposes Satan's will. So if there's, like you said, there's no submission and he's not Lord, And your will is not in alliance. You are not in alliance with his will. He said, thy will be done. See,
amen.
You got to align. There's got to be an alliance.
Amen.
And like you said earlier, heaven has to govern your heart. Heaven has to rule your mind. It has to rule your thinking. And so
amen.
Jesus here, Jesus here is not only teaching his disciples to pray, but he's bringing them into a life of prayer.
That's
so
true. I see that.
Prayer is more than a notion. Prayer is a life, a lifestyle.
In other words, prayer is not something that you do just because you happen to find it
from God.
Prayer is not something that you should just do only because something bad has happened.
Right. Or like I said, it's about the holy. It's about lining up with God's plan of redemption. It's about lining up with hope. And God is looking for men. He said, He seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. He's looking for men to operate with him, to cooperate. And he has never did anything without communicating, without communion with man, without prayer.
That is true too. That is true. And wow, that's one of those topics too. When we get into things, and to really know that God gave the right to man to operate on earth. And so because God is honor bound and he's faithful to his own word, in order to be effective in this earth realm, you have to have a body. And so when we submit to God's will, that's when God is able to operate legally. Now, God is God. He can do what he wants to do, when he wants to, how he wants to. But in his grand plan, he's opposing Satan, and he's using us lesser beings, because the Bible says we've made a little bit less lower than angels, to show that he can take something less and do something more. That's a small, because I run with that, so I'm not going to do that. Missionary Ken, I want to give you an opportunity to jump in here if you like. You're more than welcome if you want to jump in here, especially at this very first, this fifth and sixth verse, talking about don't be like the hypocrites. And we know that Jesus was opposing the scribes and Pharisees of his day that was doing stuff for show. They weren't doing it because they were for showing themselves, but they were trying to show out for others. So what do you have anything you want to add on that, Missionary Ken?
Well, in all honesty, it also jumps down there to the verse that's later in the chapter where it talks about that you're not supposed to be up there praying with these vain and big long – another way of saying it is big long words, standing up there being heard for your much speaking. Okay.
Yeah.
And like he was just saying, and I had to jump off of that. It basically, prayer. You could think of it this way: your Bible is God talking to you. Okay, the Holy Spirit and the Bible is God's way of speaking to man.
Yeah.
And just
okay.
like a telephone. Telephone don't have just a speaker. Don't have just the earpiece, so it isn't that we're just supposed to hear from God. God wants to hear from us, but not just, oh, God, give me, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me. He wants to hear from us in the good times. I'm a three-time user of service dogs that guide blind people. And found one thing, if anything, you don't just give the dog correction when they're doing wrong. You got to also praise what the dog is doing correct. You got to give praise. And doing so, the same thing is with God. When God is doing you good, which he's done us good just to save us, which we could not have done ourselves, we need to praise him. He deserves our praise because he's given us oxygen to breathe. and a heart that's beating in our chest. We need to give God the glory, the honor, and that is due his name, while at the same time, yeah, there are times we need to ask him for things. And then in the book of James, it says you pray without wavering, because if you're wavering, you're like a wave of the ocean that's tossed about. And also he said in the book of James that you watch when you pray, that you're not praying to consume upon your own lust. For example, you don't want to be, well, God, I want this big, fat Lincoln Continental when all you really need is transportation.
All right.
So that's kind of my comments that I want to kick in there with.
I appreciate that, Missionary Ken. Thank you for that. I really reflect that. Coming back to you, Reverend Cole, coming back to you, Reverend Cole.
I definitely agree with
you. Add on?
I agree with Ken. He was to the point, and that is to the point. Another thing about the holy. Remember Moses when he turned aside and he went to see the burning bush, and he walked up to the mountain, and the Lord asked him, "Says Moses, take off your shoes. This is holy ground." Well, he didn't take off his shoes because the sand was holy. He didn't take off his shoes because the bush was burning and it was holy. But it was because he was in the presence of the holy. How do you approach God?
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach a bush that's burning that won't be consumed?
Come on, man.
See, that's prayer.
I would like to add to that, Reverend Cole, because in your statement, you presented as a question, how do you come before a holy God? And the question many may ask, well, why did he have to take off his sandal? Well, there's a statement that we use here in the States, and that is, get off your high horse. So anything that you may be having on or possessing that may make you feel anything greater than the dirt you are, I put it that way, that means you're too high. And to really, and that's what many of the early Jewish faiths would lay prostrate. That means lay on their face. That means they would get on their stomach, lay toes flat forward, hands stretched out, and lay on their face before God, because they didn't want any part of their body to appear as is looking down on God. One of the reasons why here we, most of us, was taught to pray on our knees. Why? Because we bow down before his presence. We humble ourselves. And to really come before God is to remove who you are, get beyond your flesh. And that's where our problem is. Most times when we're praying in our flesh. And that's most of our issues. Our issues is we keep letting this flesh suit get in the way. But once we learn to just truly humble ourselves, and that's why the press started off, say when you pray, our Father, he's our source. Hallowed be thy name. Your name alone is reverent. Just your name, not what you did, not that you caused the sun to be, and not that you made all the birds and the bees, and not that you did these trees, and not that all the beasts are all who they are. But God was something before there was anything that we can imagine that is. So the songwriter that say, Lord, if you never do anything for me. Now, I say to a lot of people, that's a wonderful song. It's a wonderful song of worship to put you in the mind that he has already done enough for you if he never blessed you again. But the beauty of that is that the blessings of God has already been established for your entire life. So if he never does anything else, too late. He's already done the end. We just got to get there. But that's a whole nother understanding. And the only way you get it is being in his presence, like you were talking, Reverend Cole. You got to be in his presence. And when you're in his presence, he reveals to us the secret thing. That's the portion of I also want to unfold, and Missionary Ken, if you have comment on it, you're more than welcome. The secret place, see, the closet here wasn't for hiding, but it was to tune out the activities of the world. How can you prove that, Reverend Barnett? Oh, I'm so glad y'all asked me that. I want y'all to look at the story where Jesus went to a house to heal somebody, and they said that she dead already. What did he do? He put them out the house. He could have rolled her right there, but he put all the naysayers. Sometimes when we're praying, what we do not need while we're praying, we don't need no naysayers. If you can't believe God like I believe God, move. That's me saying it nicely. Move. Go over there. And so sometimes, based on what we're praying for, we don't need no distraction. And so when we're going before God petitioned, for our world, for our family, for our nation, sometimes we need, you turn the TV on. Ain't no sometimes, all the time. You tell the kid, I'll turn that game down, close that door. Nope, matter of fact, stop all that. Come on, let's grab hands. Come on here. Hey, let's put everything back. There's times when we saw that even when they were fasting, they wouldn't even feed the livestock. I'm going to stop right there because I'm about to get real, real happy. But that secret place is when you get to the place where you and God alone. Come on, Missionary Ken, I hear you. I heard you leap up.
Yeah, and there was many times that Jesus himself would separate himself off and go to a place on a mountaintop or wherever and be by himself alone to pray because he knew the power of secluded prayer.
Mm.
Yeah, and he also, it's like sweat, like great drops of blood.
Yeah, he was talking about the Garden of Gethsemane prayer, and even there was a secluded prayer.
He was by himself.
He only asked three of the chosen disciples to come with him and watch with him.
Right.
But he didn't ask them to pray with him. He said, I want you to watch with me. Watch and pray. So he did ask them to pray.
Watch while I pray.
But they didn't. But what did they do?
Amen.
They didn't pray with him. They fell asleep. And it took an angel to come and comfort him.
Yeah, because he said you couldn't even watch 1 hour.
So in his last chance, to pray before his crucifixion, he did it in a secluded prayer.
Amen. 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 I love it. I love it. I'm trying to move on because I'm almost stuck to be. I almost want to stick right there with that secret place. That secret place because you know, it's easy to do stuff in a crowd. Let's be honest. It's easy to be bold when you got some backup. But how do you fight alone? Reverend Cole, I'm coming back to you on that one. I'm asking the question. I know Sister Cole is listening, and she welcome to chime in on this one. How? Because this is what the power of prayer gives you to do. When you're standing by yourself and life has dealt you where you feel like you all alone. Oh, my God. And you seem like Sister Ruth pointed out, you can't even pray with me 1 hour. I'm not asking you to pray with me all week, but just a moment of prayer. And what time has done in this season of our lives, it seems like the world is going so fast that people say, I ain't got time to go here. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to do it. But we make time for everything else. And then when life attacks us and we feel like, now, don't nobody understand my pain. Don't nobody understand my hurt. How do you pray alone? My God.
How? It's like this. When I lost my son last year, I lost my only son last year. And when God told me to accept what he allowed, not even my husband, and he comforted me, and he did all that a husband was supposed to do and stuff. But I told him these words. I said, baby, I love you, but I have to go to Jesus. See, when you're in a desperate place, you have to go to Jesus for yourself. You have to get to God for yourself, by yourself. You don't need nobody else to go. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, if I could just touch the hem, just the hem of his garment, I don't need nobody else to touch it. If I could just go and touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. So in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my hurt, people say, oh, Natalie, you so strong. How you so strong? And you lost your son, your only son. I'm strong because he's strong.
Mm.
He said, in the time of my weakness, he is made strong. And I could go to him. I ain't go to nobody. I went to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than me. God, this is,
amen.
And we have to be honest with God. We have to be honest with him. God, this cup, just like he said, this cup is way. I can't carry this cup. I've never been there before. I've never lost a child before.
My God.
This cup is way too deep for me, God. This cup is too, wait a minute, you want me to carry this cup? No, I can't do it, but guess what? I had a nevertheless in my spirit, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. See, we got to talk like that. We got to get this in our spirit, not what we want to do. Yes, I could have stayed in the bed all depressed.
Yes, Lord.
I could have stayed in the bed feeling sorry. Oh, my own son, he gone. He dead and gone. What am I going to do? God told me to get up. Shake myself up. I got to go and help somebody else. A matter of fact, when my son died, guess what? I found myself helping somebody else.
Yes, Lord.
Before I got the caller. See, we want to wait until the battle is over. We could shout that now. We could shout that now. I wasn't going to wait until I get the caller and then finalize my son and then come back here. People are hurting every day. And they're looking for us. Can you help somebody even when you're going through pain and you're hurt? No, we tell her, wait a minute, baby, I'm going through something too. No, that's when God want to use you. That's when God want to lift you up. We'll wait. And then 2 months later, my grandson lost his daddy in September. 2 months later, he lost his mama in November.
My Lord.
So we got to be courageous, just like that Bible say. Be courageous. He told Joshua, don't weep for Moses. He dead and gone. What you reaping for? You got something to do. You got an assignment out there.
Amen. Come on now. Amen.
Amen. Go on. Praise God.
No, you out here weeping for Moses. Moses dead and gone. My kids can't bring my son back even if I wanted to. But guess what? I got a year. If I want to see him, I know how to go to my living room and look at the urine because I had him cremated.
That's that urn.
Whatever it is.
I just want to correct for our listeners. They may think urine.
I got that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm not finna, I got a work to do. I got an assignment to do. That's why when he passed, I have a nonprofit organization called What About the Children?
Amen. I'm
trying to sit down on and do nothing, wallow in my sorry, myself, finna, do something.
Lord.
Yeah. And speaking of the Lord.
Go ahead, Dr. Ken. Go ahead.
Speaking of which, she was talking about being courageous for the Lord. Very soon, we're going to be actually talking about a man who was very courageous in the face of death itself. He was a songwriter, P.P. Bliss. And he actually died right here in Ashtabula, where my wife and I live.
Yeah, and he was cremated right in the middle of the fire when the bridge collapsed.
It was a train wreck in 1876, and he had already escaped from the train. But instead of staying outside and keeping himself safe, he went back in to try to rescue his wife and ended up dying.
They both ended up dying together.
But what they did find in the train wreckage, they found the last song that he wrote, which was that song,
It Is Well With My Soul. And, man, did he write a lot of other songs.
So,
called Hold the Fort.
So we're
going
to be...
nothing to do with Jesus. Has nothing to do with war.
So when we get done, we're going to give a big report on that on the Jumbo Braille program eventually.
Yeah, it's going to be a two-hour show, and I'm probably by the time I'm done, I read two books on it, and I took notes. So it's like a newspaper reporter's kind of story here.
So we'll be giving you the date when that's going to occur so you all can join us to hear about that.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that lady was talking like an angel. Boy, she could preach herself. Go, lady. You did a good job.
She will preach. That's why I told her I'm in a conversation with her husband because she'll preach. I know she'll get out here and go to shouting and y'all think we're in revival. So she know. I got an anchor on her because. She got them all, you know. She ain't got no pedals where she just trying to roll. She got them high speed mower. Once that thing go crunk up, she bouncing across the waves. So we ain't trying to start our sister Natalie. She will run, prophetess in her own right. Amen. Yes, and bless. But Pastor Cole, back to you, Reverend.
I'm going to interject on what you said. Jesus, in him training his disciples, they were with him for 3 years. He said that, and like and Paul said this in a different way. He said men ought to always pray. And Paul said we should. He said we should pray without ceasing.
That's what he said. See,
they're not talking about I pray. They're not talking about praying when tragedy comes.
That's right.
They're talking about a lifestyle, a life, a prayer. How do you continually pray except you live prayer? And he said to his disciples, this mountain to move, if you are asking, see, it's a life of faith. It's a life. It has to be your life. There's a difference. There's a difference between praying and a life of prayer. There was a difference between 3 o'clock mass, them in the outer court praying, and the priest in the Holy of Holies praying in the presence of the Lord. Like Ken said, he separated himself just like the priest.
Yeah,
everybody went in and there with the priest when he was in the presence of the Lord, and he couldn't go in there without blood. How do you approach God? How do you approach a holy God?
Ooh.
See, we pray. But
Reverend Cole, let me test that. Let me test that because I will test that with a real short summation of that because the high priest in the Old Testament, as he went into the Holy of Holies, he went in there with blood. For those that may not understand. Blood itself has a scent. Ergo, we use the term bloodhound because they know how to follow the scent. Sin, regardless to what we consider how little or great, sin before a holy God is a bad odor. But innocent blood is a fragrance. He didn't go before God with an unwanted animal, an animal that had blemishes. But they had to use one that was pure, that was unique, that was precious, innocent. And this is what I was talking about yesterday about nature obeying God. The nature of that beast stand within its nature in which God made it. That's what made that animal blood pure. Animal's blood before a holy God did not bring a bad odor to him. Here's that blood again, because Christ knew no sin. His blood did not come from man, so his blood was not contaminated with the stench of sin. Thereby, when he died on the cross for our sin, his blood went before a holy God.
Now we have
and the sin of it now covers our sin, giving us right to cry, here's the word, Abba, Oh, my God. Slow down, Pop. Slow down. I'm about to get happy right there because we don't understand. When we've been given the right to stay thought, see, our Father giving me the right to stay to him, Daddy, you're my thought. You're unique, and you're my only thought. See, everything that we use in this world is a resource. God is the source. And every now and then we forget that. That's why we end up needing some more sources of the world. That's why we turn to the world, because we have like. Pray like we're supposed to pray. If we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit like we're supposed to, and I'm saying like we're supposed to, and I did say we because guess what? The preachers are guilty too. I, the preacher, am guilty of having to say, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Lord, I forgot. You did tell me to do this. You did tell me. And I have to go, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't have to get on no microphone and say, Lord, I'm sorry. No. Right where I am, that's my closet. Lord, forgive me. I disobeyed your direction. Lord, forgive me. I didn't pray for this person like you led me to pray for them. That's one of the most strangest things, that intercessory prayer. That intercessory prayer, when God put people on your mind, he said, you was on my mind. Aren't we supposed to pray? That might be the reason why you were supposed to pray. I'll never forget how one of the elders, friend of mine, the guy that took over sound behind me at Greater Community, he was in my heart. I just began to pray. And he was on my mind. I just started praying for him. Finally, I went on ahead and called him. Should have called him 3 days prior when he was on my mind, but I did pray. And I was praying for him. I said, man, you was on my mind the other day, that afternoon, man. And he confessed to me. He said, man, I'm glad you was praying for me. I was on my motorcycle and I had an accident. And, man, it nicked my leg. Man, I could have bled out. See, we don't know why the Holy Spirit has us praying for people. This is the power of prayer. We don't know, but the Holy Spirit does. And for God to move in this earth realm, he's listening for our prayer so he can make provision, so he can move here, he can move there. I read for y'all earlier, not tonight, yesterday, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. The condition that God gave us, that if we would do those four prerequisites, three things God's going to do. He's going to hear, he's going to forgive, and he's going to heal. Our land is in the trouble it's in today because we, the people of God, will humble ourselves and hear this and pray. We do got to turn from our wicked ways.
Look, they didn't either. They went into bondage.
Because they didn't listen. They didn't heed the warning.
They didn't. He said, if my people will call by my name, would humble themselves. But they didn't.
They did not.
And we don't either.
Amen.
And we said, we intercede. I hear a lot of people say, well, let's have intercessory prayer. And then they end up praying for themselves.
Wow. That's a good observation.
And another thing to notice here, too, it didn't say, if the president, if the Congress,
come on now,
if the Senate,
you go on, sweetheart,
if
he said,
the House of Representatives.
People. And we don't.
If my mayor.
Yeah.
No. It says, if my people. What's your call by my name?
My name.
He didn't say
anything.
He put the Ruth, would you please stop interrupting me?
No, I'm trying to go on with the verse.
Well, I was trying to take my time to do this.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go on, preach, Mr. Narkin. Go on, preach, Mr. Narkin.
Okay.
He
goes on to say, if my people, which are called by my name, okay? Mm-hmm. And he puts the blame and the responsibility on who? He didn't
my
say
people.
The world. He didn't say the world.
That's right.
He puts it on us, the responsibility on us first, that
Amen.
We are to humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Because if we're not going to, if we as believers don't turn from our wicked ways, how could we expect the world to turn from theirs?
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, how's this land going to turn anywhere good when the missus who believes in Christ is watching Dallas? Love Boat.
All right.
As
I'm
a stomach churn,
Bible fan here.
All of my devils.
General yeah. Adultery.
General Adultery. Yeah. As
come
a
on.
Stomach churn. Huh?
We need to get our eyes focused on Jesus and not the ways of the world and get off that stupid, dumb soap.
I mean, and some of the men are just as bad with their what, watching football. Oops, I stepped on some toes right there.
Amen.
Oh, honey,
you got to keep God first.
I need your help in the kitchen, honey. I'm watching football.
Well, that's tough. You want to eat, get out here and help.
Come on.
Y'all
Bible
keep that
says
in the
dwell with
y'all
them according
the
to knowledge.
House.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Such
it's
powerful
like,
things have been said. Such powerful
like
things
said,
have been
Jim.
Said.
They didn't
go
do
ahead,
it.
Go ahead, Rev. Cole. I come back after you. Go ahead, Rev. Cole. I hear you saying something.
Yeah, they just like you said, he was talking to his people. He's and that little word there, if, it's conditional.
Mm-hmm.
It was conditional.
Amen.
If my
Amen.
People
Amen.
Called by my name. And they didn't do it.
Amen.
So what happened? They went into captivity. They went into bondage for 70 years.
Amen. For our listeners, we're talking about, again, we're dealing with the topic praying as God's people. And we did pull a Old Testament scripture to really bring that point home. As a believer, we need to believe. What do we need to believe? The Word of God. We need to believe what He said. This is chapter 6 of verse of the book of Matthew. We're reading verses 5 through 15. But what I love about chapter 6 here, and pretty much one of my favorite verses, one of, got many, but this is one of them. And it is to bring perspective on us or for us. And that's verse 33, where it says, seek first the kingdom of heaven. A lot of times we are praying just for ourselves and we're praying about ourselves, but how often do we just simply ask God, Lord, what you want me to do? Lord, who to pray for? Lord, what's my portion? Lord, what's right? Lord, what's wrong? And because we get caught up in the cares of the world, we do. We just do. Let's just be completely honest. We allow the circumstances of life dictate how we pray instead of dictating to our circumstances of life that we pray. Perfect example for that, a couple weeks back, I preached on, and I inserted him into the message, Daniel. Daniel did not allow the king's decree to keep him from praying. It was known that Daniel prayed three times a day, every day. And even after a decree, a law was made that gave command to the citizens of that nation not to pray to anybody else other than the king. So that lets you know that prayer is more than just saying some stuff. Prayer is a legal petition to anybody else but the king. Daniel did not falter. He continued to pray three times a day, daily. And here's what I'm saying. He didn't close his curtain because he didn't do it before. He wasn't hiding. He wasn't praying to be seen, but he was seen praying. Believers, we're not doing things to be seen, but we need to be seen doing the things of our Father's business. The Bible said the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This here sons is sonship, so it includes women. And so it deals with ownership. God has given, he has given the responsibility of the world in our hands. The first Adam gave away that right. So Satan is the prince of the air and the ruler or the king of this system, worldly system, died to tear that system down to rebuild the kingdom of heaven in the midst of that system. So when we learn to pray right, like Daniel did, God knows how to cover us. Prayer got him in trouble, but it was also his prayers that got him back out of trouble. And so no matter what we're facing, we're coming to the end of our program. I want to take a moment just to say to all our listeners, because we're about to go into our bonus time. And we won't just cut off, but we want to welcome up all of you that joined in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. We want to say thank you. Thank you to all our callers, all our listeners. We're not closing. We're going to go into our bonus time. There's a few more things that need to be said. But we want to thank those that have joined us in donations to the program to help keep this programming going. If you are a new listener and you would like to support this station, there are two platforms in which you may contribute and donate to this platform, the Six Eyes Radio Network, and that is through PayPal and Cash App. If you're using the PayPal platform, it is sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. If it's the Cash App, sign 6Eyes24. That is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. And all of your donation, your contribution, be it small or large, is greatly appreciated. And may God bless you for your trust and sowing of seed into this outreach ministry. And that's what we're going to tell you. Now, so here, one of the things that I must point out before we go on is he said this. Their object, talking about the hypocrites, their objects was for everyone to see them and admire them for their devotion. So some people that are only doing things so that you can admire them for what seems to be their devotion. In other words, they're looking for praise of men. What makes them feel good about themselves is you saying, "That a boy, way to go," you know. And it may not be those particular words, but it is giving them praise. And I'm not saying that you can't praise a person for their good deeds. But what I am saying that we as believers should not do good deeds just to get praise from people. And so that's what Christ says here. Don't pray just to get praise. You're praying to praise. And so that's the basis of this outline, to get us to understand that we have the spirit of adoption that gives us the right to cry to a holy God, Daddy. In other words, God wants us to be personal with him. God is not this creator that's full of destruction if you get him angry. No. He's full of grace and mercy. Because the truth of the matter is the wages of sin is death, and that being the case, all of us could have died long before we said yes, though his grace gave us opportunity, space and time, to say yes, and after saying yes, many of us messed up big time, and his grace was there to see us back, to hold on to us, to not let us drift so far away that we wasn't reachable. And we brought back with us the struggle, and it's now our charge to share with others our struggle. You're struggling. He delivered me. He will deliver you. Ken, I'm coming to you and coming to the Wolf Games and give your last words. Then we're going to end with Reverend Cole, last word, and then we finally coming back to our founder to make sure that he didn't have any questions or comments, and that's none other than Six Eyes. I want to thank all of you for being part of the program this evening. You made this happen. And this only happened because we came together in fellowship celebrating God. And so I want to say thank you. Missionary Ken and Wolfgang, do either you or Ruth have any last remarks?
Well, I just want to say that it was a good message tonight, and yes, as long as we keep our eyes focused on Christ when we pray and approach him, as the brother was talking about, with the right spirit, the right reverence, then yes, as he said in his word, he promised us that he would hear us. And that is our goal, is to want the Lord to hear our prayers. So we need to approach him with the reverence and in the right attitude, because if we got the right attitude, we'll have the right altitude. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Great message, Brother Cole, Pastor Cole. Great message. And your story,
Brother,
very similar.
Brother Six, we're going to come with you last, because we want to let you have last word. We're going to move back over to Reverend Cole, because I want you to have the last. Because you're the founder, and as I said before many times to you privately, and we say to, we honor leadership. And regardless of my title and the ability that God has given me to declare his word, this your platform, and we serve it at your leisure. I may be Pastor Bonnet, but actually, Six Eyes Radio Network, you the pastor. And we reverence that position because we honor God. And God does all things decently and in order. And so, Reverend Cole, want to say thank you for coming tonight and sharing with us. Thank you, Sister Natalie. We had her on the show before. She blessed us real good. We thank you for, man, and it's another testament of a ordained minister who is not afraid of the anointing that's in his wife and embraces that because they know who they are in God. So I commend you for it, and I give you, if there's anything else you want to hit on this topic before we close out tonight, once again, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to ask my wife if she has any closing remarks, and then, yeah, I want to just interject. You have something you want to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, God be the glory. I really did enjoy this time. Brother Ken, God bless you, man. I love your spirit. It was good being with you tonight. And Brother Charles, I think we have talked before. And I thank you guys for inviting me. And I want to leave, you know, Matthew said this. He said, as a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I have what I've asked for. Nothing shall be impossible to me.
Mm.
So as we live, as we journey on, without him, nothing is impossible. With him, I mean, without him, we can do nothing. With him, nothing shall be impossible for us.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to say thank you once again. I want to thank the Wolfgang for their pointing in. I know that I did not reopen all the mics. So to all of our on listeners, I did not reopen the other mic for questions tonight because I wanted this dialogue to be of those that are really dealing with this topic. And I wanted us to stay in the spirit of this conversation. And I really just wanted you to experience other men and women of God in a dialogue about God. And so I did not mean any disrespect to anyone. I did not intentionally do anything to shut your voice, but I wanted you to hear tonight. And you'll be back next week. We'll have questions and answers then again. But I want to thank everyone for their part tonight. Truly I do. I encourage you. These are campfire conversations. We need more of them. We need this in our community. We need this in our home. Our world needs this. Our society needs this. You look around on social media and television, they are coming up with all types of platforms to discuss their ungodly activities. And many are talking about stuff from a human perspective and saying what they feel about it. And they're dealing with social issues, but the church is silent. And as I said before, we are the church, not the building. They won't come in. And it seems like we won't go out. Let us be, as it was said tonight, let us be courageous. Let us be bold for the Lord. And let us not be ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power unto salvation. And the world can only get it when we release it. So let us help others, okay? Let's start up more conversations like this one to encourage people to be all that they can be in God. Amen. Thank you all again. Brother Six, man of God,
hey, is it my turn?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. Well, you have enjoyed Motivational Monday. Now, the beauty of this podcast is available on demand whenever you want it. All you have to do is simply go to your podcast on your smartphone, be it Apple or Android, and when you go to your podcast section of the phone, which is the app that says podcast, you want to type in Six Eyes Radio, that is SIXEYES Radio, RADIO. And once you press that, first thing you'll see, guess what, is Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Vonnegut. When you see that, you know you're on the right page. At the top right corner, press subscribe, and you'll have all the Six Eyes Radio episode at your fingertips. Pastor Cole, your story was very, very inspiring. A lot of similarities. You and I are 6 years with our sight loss, but we have not fell off a cliff. We have not ran into a wall. We may have stubbed our toe, but God sees for us, so that's the best navigator to have is God. I want to commend you for not giving up, still living your dreams, still pastoring. You and your beautiful wife, I just encourage you to keep going. Just God bless you, man. And I don't believe in the word disabled, because if you put G-O in there, God is able. So I don't believe in disabled. God is able. G-O, God is able.
Amen.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Child, I really do appreciate that. You know, the Lord is our eyes. You know, we remember, we see beyond the natural, and we see unto the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
And that's
absolutely.
Blessing.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
I love you. Love you, man.
Love you. Love you as well. And each step we take, we're literally living the Bible, walking by faith, not by sight.
That's right. That's preset.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Brother Charles.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it's so funny that you said that I have ministered that to the people. I said, y'all take that for granted. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I literally see it every day, you know, in my husband, because he's blind and he's walking by faith, you know, and he don't have no sight. He can't see. But, I mean, to see him just maneuver around the house.
Mm-hmm.
He changed our whole bedroom around with
bad
no
man.
Help.
Bad
you know,
man. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just amazed at what God do through him, you know. And, you know, I'm just amazed. And I tell him all the time, God put two, you know, opposite people together, you know, because I'm so wacky and I'm a people person. He's not, you know, but, you know, he put us together and he made something happen. You know, I just love the Lord. I love my husband.
Amen.
So that's it.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. And Pastor Cole, I'm going to coin... And this, I put you in the category, you are blind with vision.
Thank you. That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know where you're going. You know how many sighted people are lost? They're blind. They know where they're going. They can see, but they're still lost. You know where you're going.
Amen. So, my brother, you stay on the wall, and the Lord has many, many, many wonders and continual blessings for you. and you stay on the wall, man, and let God continue to speak for you and direct your path.
Thank you. I receive that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And Sister Cole, give your nonprofit. And Pastor Ken?
Yes.
Ken Bonnet?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure First Lady Bonnet and her aren't related? Because they sound similar.
they partners. We need to be on a prayer line.
And she, Natalie was praying, and they were like, and they kept saying, Sister Bonnet, who would you pray? I'm like, that ain't my wife. I'm sorry. I didn't
Man,
on
they
the
stop.
I ain't saying on the line yeah. now. You know, we corrected it afterwards.
Wow.
But I said that wasn't that wasn't her that time. Because me and her, we used to pray on a 5 o'clock prayer line. Was it 5 o'clock? And we used to pray, and the place where we was praying, I'm telling you how God worked. And I know it's time, but it's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was so funny that we prayed. We was praying while we was cleaning. And of their liquor productivity stopped working.
Mm-hmm.
So the business was only able to prosper. They prospered from their money, from their food side.
Uh-huh.
Literally half of their liquor that came through a tap stopped functioning. And they had no idea what happened. They couldn't fix it to resolve it until after we left.
Wow. Wow, that was God. That was God.
Don't quote they know we were praying and that.
He stopped the pour. He stopped the pour. Wow. Wow.
That is my last I'm telling the truth. You need to validate what I've been saying.
Oh yeah, good. Stop it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
man.
But at least two.
It's funny.
But
they told them
and they couldn't fix it.
Man told us, hey, Jack, we don't know what's going on. And her smart self, she said, I know.
Yeah, too much air in the line.
We just say okay. We don't even know why y'all telling us. But that was funny. But anyway, Six is on you to close us out in prayer. And once again, thank everyone for your participation. Happy holidays. I know there's more programming for the Six Eyes Radio Network throughout the week, but I want to say in advance, happy holidays to you all. Happy Thanksgiving. And please be thankful. But Six, you got to pray.
Oh, I got to pray. I got two patches on the line. All right. All right, dear Lord, I want to thank you for all that you do and continue to do for us. Keep blessing our endeavors, keeping us healthy and strong, praying for mankind, the ills of the world. Just fix whatever needs to be fixed. Give us the do away with procrastination and just keep us focused, steady on the path. Bless all that we do, continue to do. Bless our resources to be able to do more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Once again, thank you, everybody. Love you all. And we'll see you the next time here on the
Amen.
Six Side Motivational Monday with your children. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless.